an injury update on how the group's looking?
Yes, unfortunately from the weekend we lost Mark O'Connor with a hamstring that looks like it'll be a period of weeks. Certainly won't be one or two, it'll be longer than that. And Jake Collegeasney, who was subbed out of the game with a knee issue, we're still not exactly sure where he's at the moment. Probably unlikely for this week, but we're hoping that's not too serious. And then we've got a few longer term ones as well. Paddy Dangerfield will be the best part of 8 weeks, we think. Sean Higgins is on his way back, so he won't play this week, but we think he's likely available the following week. Sava Radigalia was starting to track really well with that broken leg. That's sort of a thing of the past as far as he's concerned and we're concerned at the moment, but he missed the weekend's VFL game with a little bit of a groin issue, which we think is minor, and we think he'll be available to play VFL footy up in Sydney this week, so that's positive. It was a bit of a scare, but hopefully not too bad. Francis Evans is more long term. He's similar outlook to Paddy Dangerfield with that syndesmosis surgery, so that's 8 weeks from injury, which I think was the Hawthorne game or the Melbourne game. Hawthorne, anyway. Help me out.
Cooper Stevens was close to playing some football for us.
Yeah, closer, but it was a pretty serious ankle injury, so he's not running around at training at the moment. So when he starts doing that, I'll be in a better position to pass on what the medical staff are saying, but it's a bit indefinite at the moment. There are probably a few others, but none that really contribute to the decision-making this week.
We always ask you, Ben, but with a week missing, does that make Saba an extra week out? Does it sort of holding back even further, being missed another week after
that layoff? I don't think it's as linear as that. Obviously, missing the match practice hurts him a bit because that's, in at least my mind, that's what I'd like to see. But he hasn't. It's not as if he's missed the training either side of that game. So it might hold him back a little bit more, but I don't think it's cost him a whole week or even a week and a half. And I think, as I said last week, the priority for us is getting him back to full health and match fitness so when he plays at AFL level, he can perform the way that we know he can. I think he's been limited in previous years off the back of either limited pre-seasons or niggly injuries that have prevented him from showing what he can really do. And I just don't think that's fair on him because we just like to see him in and firing. So we're going to be a bit cautious there.
Who comes in? There's at least one, potentially two outs. Who
comes in? Oh, there's a pretty good field that we'd be happy to play, that's for sure. So the Mark O'Connor's been playing more midfield. So if we look at those guys, Jordan Clark, he has missed a bit of footy by virtue of being the sub a few weeks, but he's been kind of the next guy in. So at least in my mind, we're yet to make this decision as a collective yet, but in my mind it doesn't preclude him from playing this week. Quinton Narkle, Charlie Constable, Max Holmes are the other guys I think who are sort of really putting their hand up for that midfield position. Yeah, they'd be the main guys. Is there anyone else you're thinking about?
Well, Collegeasney didn't get up. I know you've got a plethora of defenders. It would be a case of just balancing back up and maybe a Henry spending more time back and filling one of those roles rather than bringing somebody else up. You've got that, I suppose, that flexibility.
Yeah, we've got a couple of guys who have been playing VFL level who we think can play at the level. Zach Guthrie's played some good footy for us over a period of time as a back, and I wouldn't say we've got a plethora of backs. We've got some guys that sort of have played back, but we're choosing to play in slightly different spots at the moment. But yeah, if Collegeasney doesn't come up, there'd be a reshuffle for sure.
We saw you play against North Melbourne down here a couple of weeks ago. From that to annihilating West Coast, what clicked in that 7-day period?
Well, it's a good comparison, actually. If I isolate my answer to the comparison between the North game and the West Coast game, a lot of things on the stat sheet, at least, and I know they don't tell the whole story, were pretty similar. Our expected score or winning margin against North Melbourne was 60 points. We only won by 30. A lot of inside 50s dominated. I think we were plus 21 inside 50s both games, plus by over 100 possessions. The games were actually pretty similar. So that alone probably speaks to execution being the main thing. But as I've said for a few weeks, I think it's just... I don't think it tells the whole picture to look at the way a team's playing and assume that that's what they're setting out to do. We review our games every week and come up with a whole range of things that we'd like to be doing better. But that combination of not quite executing our system and when we were trying to execute the system, making skill errors or fumbles or silly mistakes kind of can contribute to a big difference between two performances. So we weren't panicking when we didn't think we were on top of our game post the North game. We won by 30 points. It wasn't a disaster. And we're not in love with ourselves now because we executed much better against the Eagles. So, and it always brings you back down to earth a little bit when you look at the opposition and you see the quality of footy that they've played, and almost without exception across the competition, you don't need to go back too far to find good examples of the opposition playing well. And Sydney's first 4 weeks were really dominant. So we're still working on our game. It's still evolving. I think we'll be playing slightly differently in 10 weeks' time to the way we're playing now because the game just evolves that quickly. But I think even then, if we're not executing what we're trying to do, it'll look pretty ordinary.
Speaking of the way that the game's evolving, we saw, you guys play two big forwards, very effectively on the weekend. Is that the direction that you think that the game might be moving back to that big forward setup?
It's hard to say. I think Richmond are always the team that spring to mind for me, and when they became a dominant team in 2017, my observation was that it was a function of them having a look at their personnel available and developing a system that suited them. So they didn't have big key forwards. They had Revolt, who's kind of a medium tall, I guess, and then a whole fleet of really quick, hard runners. And they developed a game style that complemented those guys. But then they brought in Lynch, and I think that in and of itself highlighted the fact that it wasn't their preference to play with one key forward. They'd like to, and that's probably the place we've been for a little while as well, that we would like to have someone next to Hawkins who's of similar quality but plays slightly differently. So we've always been to the mind that you look at your personnel and you look at the strengths and weaknesses of your team and you build your system around that. And that's the way our game's evolved over a decade. So I can understand people, certainly when they're not in the coaching sphere, and guys that sort of would reflect back to their playing days and think about how they would like their team to play if they were coaching. And I think that way as well. But if you've got a group of players that are not suited to that style, it'd be folly to try to force that and end up a bit in between.
Just back on that execution, is that something that you think you've, I guess, turned a corner and will stay on this level? I don't think we'll expect a 97-point win each week, but do you expect that sort of execution going forward to continue, or is that something that could fluctuate week to week, depending on things
you go? The plan is to ride the momentum when you're going well. I think that's always that's the roller coaster of the AFL system. You're trying to improve the things that aren't going that well, and when you hit a bit of a patch where you get some momentum and are executing well, you want to ride that for as long as possible. Maximise your strengths, mitigate your weaknesses. It's impossible for me to forecast, Josh. I'd love to look back and say that post the West Coast game we were just all systems go, and without looking back too far, it was always a difficult thing to say at the start of the season because it can be seen as a self-fulfilling prophecy that we thought we would improve as the season went on, but I thought that was as close to fact as I could come up with, and I still think it's the same. I still expect that as the season goes on and we build more cohesion with our team off the back of a short pre-season with some guys who are a bit limited, that we will get better. But I think that goes for most of the competition, particularly the teams that played, almost into November last year.
You backed in Luke Dalhouse when the external noise was not going great, and we know that he had a limited pre-season. Did you see something Saturday that he's just found what Luke Dalhouse is about as a footballer?
Yeah, I mean, as a coaching group, I think as a club, one of our core philosophies is that we we defend our people. We have their backs. Now, that doesn't mean that you get picked every week or you get everything that you want. Sometimes the decision goes against you, but I think the players, I think the players in particular, they don't suffer from a lack of feedback. And I think because of that, they don't need us to pile on publicly as well. Now, we're as accountable as any organisation, I imagine, certainly on a week-to-week basis. So our players are under no illusions as to where they sit and the things they've got to improve on, but it comes from a core position of support. And, I mean, I wasn't really aware. I think he got some criticism that was brought to my attention on social media. Like, you've got to bring that to my attention because I just don't live in that world. But he was never in doubt of going out of our side. And again, because we have a lot more information around his preparation and the challenges he was facing, and we made a deliberate decision to bring him into the team round one, knowing that he wasn't going to be quite at his best and he would get better. So, yeah, I'm not saying that we're vindicated, but hopefully that explains our decision-making process a little better.
The month of May, I don't know how far ahead, Chris, you look at the season, but you know, your month of May is Sydney, Richmond, St Kilda, Gold Coast and Collingwood. Is it a season-defining month for Geelong, or is that putting too fine a point on it when you, you know, you get a real handle where you're at, you know, once you're 10 rounds in?
No, I'm always of the view that you need a decent sample size in any season to get a real sense for where teams are, you know, and then, you know, preferably when every team's played each other at least once. But you can fall too far behind. So I think the smart aleck answer is yes, this is season defining, but the next month will be just as season defining. It's just every game just feels like a big game these days. And again, it's hard to win the premiership, impossible to win the premiership in the first 2 months. But you can fall so far behind that it makes it really, really difficult. Not just in a practical sense, but you know, kind of from an emotional sort of momentum perspective. If you're not getting the wins on the board and you're falling a bit further behind, that sort of puts pressure on, some of which is real and some is kind of imagined. You know, why aren't we doing this? Is it something in our preparation we didn't get quite right? Is our game style a little bit off? Do we need to tweak this and that? So that's the art of coaching, working out what is real, what do we absolutely need to address, and what's just noise, you know, that you can sort of let go a little bit. So we try to focus on the signal a bit more.
Just on Sydney, obviously no Buddy, no Sam Reid, so could work out without, I guess, an established key forward. Does that, I guess, affect how you look at things, especially with, say, Jake maybe being out in terms of shuffling things? They might be going a bit smaller.
Maybe, but I think they do have some young quality height. I would imagine it's going to be a bit of a selection headache for them when they have everyone available, because you know, it looks as if McCartan will come back, and we really rate McCartan. He's a Geelong boy, so we've watched him a little closer than we watched some other young players. I know he's been playing back, but he'll add to their taller stocks. And then, you know, Logan McDonald coming in, and you know, he's effectively rested last week from what I can tell, so he seems to be a preferred player in their lineup. And you know, they had to watch some of the recruiting vision last year to see the quality he's got, much less the way he performed, you know, early in the season for Sydney. So I doubt their structural change too much. I think they'll still have at least two talls down there. They just might not be Franklin and Reid in terms of sort of status within the game, which is hard to generate, you know, in a year or two of playing footy. But you're right that their smalls are really dangerous. You look at their forward line, and you know, as much as any, Papley's the one that kind of grabs your attention before anyone else, even when they have got their full complement of tools.
There's been a bit of debate during the week, over the weekend particularly, about how long some of these quarters are going for. We're seeing 35 minutes, 37 minutes. Do you have a take on that?
I'm a huge advocate for the game being shorter. I think if the game stayed where it was last year, over a period of years, everyone would get used to it. The quality of the game, I think, would go up. I think it would be more sustainable for the best players to play for a longer period of time. I just don't buy into the idea that let's make the hardest game in the world even harder and run these guys out of the game when they're 30. I'd love to see. Well, I'd love to see for every game bar two, Dustin Martin run around, you know, as a 35-year-old. I don't understand it. Yeah, so I know some coaches have spoken about it, maybe more eloquently than I can, but I'll just jump in behind them. I just think it flies in the face of the way world sport's going. I think it's... And even as a father of an 8-year-old girl... Well, sorry, I shouldn't bring her into it. For young kids, I can't stay up to the end of Friday night footy these days. Maybe the game starts a bit too late, but I think the shorter games... I like the compressed season as a fan last year, which is another option that opens up if the game's shorter. I just think there's so many things in the pro column for the game being shorter and virtually none in the other column.
The 16 minutes and time line, do you like? Just because some have flagged like 18, sort of meeting in the middle. Would you prefer genuinely what we saw last year?
I prefer what we saw last year, but I understand that's just my opinion. That actually shouldn't carry that much weight on this one. I think just the principle is the game being shorter, I think, would be better for everyone. And I think it'd be better for the broadcasters too, to be frank. I think the long games that blow out a little bit, people do tend to turn off. I think one of the reasons the NBA is sort of so watchable is because the games tend to be tight, and you might as well hang in there for another 10 minutes because, it doesn't go for another, hour or two longer than it should. But, yeah, I don't want to be up on my high horse telling the AFL what to do. I'm more of an advocate of the AFL telling us what to do and us just getting on with it. But I think with this one, there is a bit of a sample there from last year that just opens up a whole new world that would be positive for everyone.
My opinion means a lot less than you, Chris, obviously.
I don't know about that, Josh. Depends what we're talking about.
When I watch a game, there's a lot of wasted time in quarters. Yeah. Instead of cutting it back to 16
minute
quarters, we could cut out a lot of the clock where it stops when the ball's out of bounds or whatever, and we're wasting all the time off in goals now. Do you think it needs to be cut back in actual game time, or can we cut back the quarter time?
Well, I think that all those things should and probably are being considered by the powers that be. The only thing I think of off the top of my head is that time on's pretty important to stop game management, and you don't want a situation where the team gets 5 goals up and can just play around the boundary line and play for stoppages and kill the clock that way. I think you've got to be really careful you don't provide coaches who don't have... who are trying to win, I'll just say that. Too much ammunition to manipulate things.
Speaking to other coaches, is it a view that you see quite widely shared amongst the coaching fraternity?
Well, I always enjoy the time when we get to have all the coaches together to talk, but it happens very, very infrequently. So I couldn't speak intelligently as to what the other coaches think. I just heard the last week or two, 3 or 4 coaches speak about it publicly, and I thought that made a lot of sense. So there is a bit of a risk that you cherry pick what 4 coaches think and ignore the other 14. I think David Teague had a different view, which I respect as well. I sort of say all this with the sort of background of I'm not an advocate for coaches being the ones that dictate the rules and the way the game is played. Well, I think it's interesting that coaches have an opinion on it, but I don't think our voices should be the strongest or the most influential by any stretch.
Do you think mine should be?
I think you're certainly behind. I think you're behind the players. I think it'd be interesting to hear what the players think. But again, self-interest tends to win, doesn't it? If you're a player who has elite endurance and tends to prosper towards the end of quarters, you might like the longer games. If you're Dangerfield and Martin, who are power athletes, they probably like it being shorter. So everyone's got their own perspective, but hopefully, and I think this is what the AFL do really well, they take a step back and say, well, the welfare of our people is really important, but the spectacle for the fans is the priority. Now, because of that, if you accept that that's true, then I don't think they should listen to me in terms of what I want, because that, unfortunately, I think all coaches have a desire to see the game as spectacular as possible, because we all think it's the best game in the world, but it doesn't trump my obligation to the Geelong Footy Club. And so I have a bias there that I just can't get past, which is a self-interest on the club's behalf.